So anyway, grab your Bibles and let's start over in John chapter 14. And we'll just see where we go from here. John chapter 14. Jesus is speaking here, talking to the disciples. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version here. John chapter 14, we're going to read just a little bit. Verse 6, you all know this. Most of you know this. Says, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and you have seen him. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen who? You've seen the Father. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Verse 9, Jesus said, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? Notice this phrase. He says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how do you say, show us the Father? Now, let's just stop there. I want to remind you of something, and I think this is always important to remember. If you don't know it, know it. That Jesus, when he was on this earth, what he was doing it as a man. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I like the fact that it points out his humanity. Yes, Jesus was God. We're not denying that. But Philippians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus laid aside everything that gave him an advantage in life. He humbled himself and he came and did life as a man. God doesn't need to be anointed. A man does. Luke chapter 2 tells us that it says the child Jesus, he not only grew in stature, physical, but he also grew in wisdom. God doesn't grow in wisdom. He is wisdom. But Jesus was growing in wisdom. You know, over in John chapter 5, verse 20, Jesus makes this statement. He said, the Father is going to show me even greater things than these, just so you'll marvel, just so you'll go, so you may as well get ready to be wowed this morning. But the point of this is that Jesus didn't know everything. Jesus was growing in revelation and understanding. He said, the Father's going to show me some things that I haven't seen before, I haven't done before, so I can turn around and do it so you would go, wow. Jesus was doing this just like you and I. He was doing this just like you and I. And so it's very important that when we're reading after Jesus, and this is where I believe we started seeing tremendous results, because I started identifying with him. I know that may sound a little foreign, it may sound a little blasphemous, but it's okay, we're going to get there. But notice what Jesus said. And he's saying this just like you and I. He said, if you saw me, you saw him. If you've been around me, experienced me, you've experienced him. So Jesus, and you'll find this is a theme with Jesus, just over and over and over. And he said, so how do you say, show us the Father? Verse 10, he said, notice this, do you not believe that I am in the Father? You know, I believe I'm the Father, and what? And the Father is in me. He's talking about union here. He's talking about union. He said, I am in him, and he is in me. The union is so perfect and so complete, if you've seen me, you've seen him. And Jesus is saying this as a man, filled with God, united with God, anointed by God. And Jesus had the audacity and the boldness and yet the understanding of who he was to say, if you've seen me, you've seen God. And Jesus is saying this as a what? As a man. As a man. Do you not believe I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells where? In me, he's doing the what? He's doing the works. So right here, I mean, this blows holes in people's theology. This is some sacred cows getting shot over here. Gone. Because people say, well, the reason Jesus was able to do all he did, because, you know, he was Jesus. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, the reason I'm able to do what I do is because it's the Father on the inside of me. He's the one doing the works. It's the Father on the inside of me. 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 He said, the Father's in me and I got in him. And if you've seen me, you've seen him. If you encountered me, you encountered him. If you experienced me, you just experienced him. Why? Because our union is so perfect and so complete. There's nothing missing and nothing broken there. It's the Father in me. And we don't have time. If you go back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says that God formed the body of Adam and he breathed the breath of life into Adam. And you know, most rabbis, when they read this, they will tell you, this is their belief in this, in the Hebrew. It says, this is the way they read it, that when God formed the body of Adam, put the life of God into Adam, that the angels that were around there, when Adam became alive, the angels that were around, they looked and they couldn't tell which one was God and which one was Adam. That's the way the Jewish rabbis teach this. They couldn't tell which, the angels that are watching this could not tell which one was God and which one was Adam. As soon as that body was formed, and God put his life on the inside of that body. Couldn't tell which was which. Well, I have a problem with that based on what Jesus is saying here. And then, if you get tired of Jesus talking about it, get ready, because he keeps going on and on and on. He said, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. He said, believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. He said, and if you don't, at least believe me for the sake of the works themselves. In other words, because of this absolute complete union with the Father, Jesus said there's going to be some works, some miracles, some supernatural things that are going to flow out of this union that will prove my position with the Father. In other words, you could say it like this, that through this union that Jesus had with the Father, that's where the miracles flowed. We're leading up to something, so some of the smart people are going to get it. Notice what Jesus said over and over and over and over. I mean, this is in John 13, 14, 15, 16. He's with the disciples now. He's with his 12. They're in that room there. They're about to have supper, and then Jesus is going to go to the garden and go to the cross. These are his last moments with the disciples. And I want you to notice what he is hammering and hammering and hammering and hammering with them. Union with the Father, union with the Father, union with the Father. I'm in him and he is in me, and there's miracles that proceed from that position. Jesus wasn't talking about how special he was, how anointed he was. He's putting the emphasis on who's on the inside of him. He said, if you don't believe what I'm saying, believe it for the works themselves. Most assuredly, verse 12, I say to you, whoever believes. Now look, notice the transition. Whoever believes in me will do the very same works that I do, and even greater works, because I'm going to the Father. What was the result of Jesus going to the Father? Salvation. And salvation was going to produce what? God coming to live on the inside of me and live on the inside of you. And Jesus just said, it's the Father on the inside of me that does the works. And yet he said, those who believe in me, because I'm going to provide salvation, they're going to do the very same works as me, but even greater works. Even greater works. And there's another side piece of that we won't talk about. But he said, even greater works, because I'm going to the Father. Well, the result of Jesus going to the Father was so that the Father could get in you. Notice Jesus isn't talking about how great of a preacher he is. The tens of thousands of people following him. You know, if he had books available, all the books that he had written and the TV shows he was on and all the book deals. He wasn't talking about it. He's talking about who's on the inside of him. The Father, the Father, the Father on the inside of me. I'm one with him. He's one with me. If you don't believe what I'm saying, believe the works that are happening, because the Father on the inside of me that's doing the works through me. The Father on the inside of me. And he said, this isn't just reserved for me, because there's coming a day that the Father that's on the inside of me, he's going to be on the inside of you. And the very works that I'm doing, you're going to get to do it too. And then he goes on here. I love this. If you go on down to verse 19, I want you to check this out. This is so good. Actually, look at verse 18. I'm sorry, 17. He said, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, you know him. He's been dwelling with you, but get ready, guys. He's about to get in you. He's about to get in you. And he said, verse 19, a little while longer, the world will see me no more. But love this. I love this. He said, you're still going to see me. He said, you'll see me because I live. You're about to start living too. And in verse 20, he said, get it. Get this. This is where you and me get included. And this is where you start running out of that grave. He said this. Let me get back there. My page flipped. John chapter 14, verse 20, he said, on that day, the day of salvation, look, he said, you're going to know that I'm in the Father, You are in me, and I am in you. This was the crowning achievement of Jesus' life and ministry. He came to unite man and God together once again. Thank God for heaven. Thank God we get to go to heaven one day. That sweet, sweet day, the sweet by and by. But you know what? For too long, we've made the emphasis of Christianity about getting to heaven. And yet for too long, we've been going through hell on earth. Thank God that there's a destination of heaven that we can go to. There's a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. But Jesus did not come to change your destination. He came to change your position. Come on, we were far from God, but because of righteousness, because of salvation, because of redemption, we became very near to God, so near we became one with him. This is what Jesus, I mean, over and over and over and over and over with the disciples, his last moments, time with them. These are the guys that are to continue the ministry of Jesus. And notice what he is hammering. Union, 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 union. Who's in me is going to be in you. You're going to do the very same works, not because you're special, but because of who gets on the inside of you. And he said, on that day of salvation, I mean the day, the very moment that you say, Jesus, be the Lord and Savior of my life, I mean there is an instant miracle that happens on the inside of you. You become a brand new creature in Christ. All things passed away. All things become new. Why? Because the God of the universe just moved on the inside of your body. Moved on the inside of you. Moved on the inside of you. So many times we're waiting on a move of God, but you know what? You just need to move. Because when you move, God moves. That's why some of you in here right now, you might just want to move. There's somebody in here, you've had a shoulder injury. If you'll just lift that thing up, you weren't able to lift it above your head. If you lift it up right now, you'll notice you're instantly healed. Who is that? Come on, you couldn't do this. Who is that? Who is that? You right there? What just happened? What happened? Could you do that? Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. Was there somebody else? Somebody else that had a shoulder deal? Yes, sir. Just had a shoulder replacement. We're going to get you a little therapy this morning. Praise the Lord. But friend, I'm telling you, get ready. You don't need anybody to lay hands on you. I'm telling you, you're about to get smack dab with some stuff right now. Come on, look, Jesus didn't stop talking about this. He didn't stop talking about this. He said, that day of salvation, you're going to know I'm in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Verse 21, notice this. He said, and whoever loves me will be loved by my Father. Underline, highlight this, post note it. He said, I will love them, and he said, I will manifest myself to them. When? On the day of salvation, that means you can begin to have encounters with Jesus right then. This is not talking about the person that's been saved for 50 years and went to Bible school and got a THD and MDIV and all this type of stuff. He said, the day of salvation, you could be 7 years old and receive Jesus right now and have an encounter with God. Let me tell you this story. So last week we were in Georgia and there was I did not know this young woman was in there. She was about 19, 20 years old. The only thing I noticed about her was her purple hair. You know, God loves purple hair. But I walked by and I was just being kind of funny. I said, oh, I like your hair. I wish I could do purple hair. And I didn't know what was going on with her. Well, this deaf lady gets healed in the service, okay? We didn't lay hands on her, didn't pray for her. It was a smaller church. And this deaf lady gets healed, her left ear, she couldn't hear. Well, this young girl was sitting just a few seats away from her. She saw we didn't lay hands on her, didn't pray for her, or anything like that. So at the end of the service, her and her mom comes up, and the mom says this. She said, hey, would you talk to my daughter? And I said, about what? And she said, well, I'll let my daughter tell you. The short version is that the daughter, she'd been involved in witchcraft. She was dealing with, she had a girlfriend and dealing with witchcraft and all these type of things. But you could tell God was all over this girl. You could see it. And I said, well, what's going on? She said, well, I'm just trying to figure things out. And I said, well, what did you think about the service? And she said, well, I saw that deaf lady get healed. She said, I saw that deaf lady get healed. And she said, that was pretty radical. And I said, yeah, it was. You notice I didn't pray for her, didn't lay hands on her. She said, yeah, that's what, she said, that really got me. That was pretty radical. And I said, well, what did you think about that? And she said, well, that was really cool. And I said, what's going on with you? Where are you at with Jesus? She said, well, I'm just trying to find out, you know, which religion will work for me. And I said, well, darling, you just saw which one works. And I didn't know she was dealing with witchcraft and stuff. And just, you know, the Holy Ghost is awesome. I mean, word of knowledge just came up. And I said, you know what? You can do this devil worship. You can play with crystals. You can do all this stuff. It's never going to fill the void that's on the inside of you right now. When I said that, her mom's eyes went. And she looked at her friend and she goes, how'd he know that? I didn't know. I wasn't trying to get a word from the Lord. Just conversation just come up. Very naturally just being supernatural, you know. And so I told the girl, I said, look, you're in a unique situation right now because most people don't get to see the Word of God become alive right in front of their eyes. So when you walk out of these doors, you can't walk out saying, I don't believe in Jesus. You got to walk out saying, I deny Jesus. I said, you're in a pickle here. You're in a bad spot. I said, so why don't you just go ahead and receive him because you know he's real. Well, a little earlier in the service, I had told about when I was 20 years old. And it's kind of a long story. When I was 20 years old, I'd been running from God. I grew up in a really solid, good church, but I never saw God move. I never saw miracles. I'm sure there was things that happened, but I just didn't see anything. And it put me in a place, I just ran from God. I was questioning if God was even real. And it took some time, but I got dragged to church by the worship leader of this one church, and there was this great revival meetings going on. Anyway, I had this encounter with God. I found out God was real. Nobody touched me. Here, I'll tell you the short version. So I'm sitting in the back. I'm 20 years old, just turned 20, two days into being 20. I'm sitting in the back row of the church. I'm mad, don't want to be there. And the evangelist that was there, he's finishing up, and he said, look, if anyone here, if you need a touch from God, you need healing, you need somebody to lay hands on you, I want you to come up here. I remember sitting back there, arrogant, stupid, 20, and I said, God, if you're real, I want to see what you've got. So I got real bold. I got in my chair and I walked up there, 20 years old and stupid. But I was looking. I was searching. I was hungry. And I grew up in a very good church, but I was hungry. I'd never seen anything. I heard God was good. I heard He wanted us to be rich and prosper. But I mean, we were living in a mobile home, barely had money for bread and water. I mean, like, we were poor. I never saw anybody get healed. So I'm questioning, is this even real? And I walked up to the front, and there's a couple people in line, and so I'm just sitting here, and I'm watching. And the minister, he goes down laying hands on people, and he got to the lady next to me. When he put his hands on the lady next to me, and I'm watching, he put his hands on the lady's head. When he did that, it was like electricity hit the top of my head. It went through my body, and I'm telling you, I was not a runner. I was not a shouter. I was not a jumper. I ran all around that room, and then I just fell out under the power of God. When I got up, I knew God is real. And it just so touched me, you know. And that was the thing that just radically changed my life, because I started thinking about it. I was a good little church boy. We were in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. My dad was on the board of the church. I was the drummer in the church. I mean, I didn't do anything bad, but I began to think, if I'm in church 3 and 4 times a week and I'm wondering if God's real, what does that say for the Easter and Christmas guy? You know? And so, I mean, it set my life ablaze and set me on the course that I'm on now. People need encounters with God. Not just the world, the church in this day needs an encounter with God. And so I told that story. And so this girl involved in witchcraft, and she's got a girlfriend and all this type of stuff. And I said, you're in a pickle, honey. Like, you got to make a choice. And so I said, let's pray. And so grabbed her hand, led her in salvation. She receives Jesus. And then she stopped me and she goes, oh, man, this is still touching me. She said, you know, when you made that comment, about you were questioning if God was real. I said, yeah. She said, I want that too. She said, I want that too. I didn't know if it was possible. I just said, all right. I didn't say this out loud, but I said, all right. So I grabbed her hand. I didn't know what to expect. I grabbed her hand. I mean, it just touched me so much. I grabbed her hand. I said, God, what you gave me, I ask you to give to her right now. That she would know that you're real. This wasn't a church-going girl. All of a sudden, her arms began to shake. Her legs began to shake. And I just let go. And she looked at me and she goes, whoa. And at the end of the service, we got a video testimony of this. And she sat there and she said this. Her mom asked her, what were you feeling? She said, Mom, it was like my bones were about to shake off. But I'm telling you, that's the God that we serve. It's not about your doctrine being perfect and whether you did this. He wants hungry people. He's never denied hungry people. Come on, friends, look at Moses. Moses was somebody who was a sinner. Nobody in the Old Testament was saved. He was a sinner. He was a former murderer. But in Exodus chapter 33, Moses said, I'm going to get this tent. I'm going to put it outside of the camp. And this is where I'm going to meet with God. And I don't see where God told him you could do this and this was possible. But the Bible says that God came down and began to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his own friend. And then Moses, in this conversation later on, he said, God, I know you know my name, but that's not good enough. I want to know you. And if that was available for a former murderer and a sinner, someone that was not the righteousness of God in Christ, not somebody that was filled with the Holy Ghost, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, what is available for the child of God that's united with the Father and the Father one with him? Come on, this is what Jesus was talking about. He said, on that day of salvation, you'll know experientially, not just intellectually, experientially, you'll know that I'm in the Father and I am in you and you are in me and I'll manifest myself to you. And it wasn't just a one-time experience. You can have an encounter with God anytime that you want. Why? Because what Jesus was coming to do was coming to get God on the inside of you. So he talks about this in John chapter 14. And then look at John chapter 17. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's praying to the Father. And look at what he says here. Verse 20, he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for all of those who will believe in me through their word. He says, I'm not praying for just the 11 guys that are here now. Or the 12 guys that are here now. I guess Judas is still there. 12 guys that are there now. He says, I'm also praying for all of those who will believe in me through this word that's going to be preached. So let's make things real, real and practical here. How many people have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Raise your hand. So get ready. He was praying for you right here. Now, how many of you realize when Jesus prayed, Jesus got answers? Jesus always got his prayers answered. And this is what Jesus prayed. Think about this. He's about to go to the cross, but this is what he's praying. He's got you on his mind. And this is Jesus' prayer. He says, Father, I pray that they would all be one, just as you, Father, are in me. And I am in you. I pray that they would be one in us. This was Jesus' prayer in going to the cross. Father, I pray that just as you and I are one, that they would be one with us. And then notice the next phrase. He says, so that the world would know that you sent me. My God, think about it. How is it possible that the world would look at a Christian and know that God sent Jesus? Because the reality of this gospel message is so almost unbelievable. It's because this union that was going to happen was to be so perfect and so complete that when the sinner saw the child of God, they wouldn't know if that was the child of God or if it was the Father. Just as Jesus was able to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, we should be in a position where we can say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Christ. He says, so that they would know, the world would know that you sent me into this world. In other words, that we wouldn't be so great a Christian just in our verbiage, but we would also be so great a Christian in our results. Because see, we've watered this thing down to just being good and being a good person and just walking in love and being giving and doing nice things for people. And that's great, you know. But you know what? A lot of sinners do that for tax write-offs. I mean, thank God for, you know, loving people and giving people food and clothing them. And we should be doing those things. But you know what? You don't need God to do that. But if you want miracles, you better have him. So notice, just like in John 14, when Jesus is talking to the disciples, look at what Jesus is talking about. And this is important because you know this to be true. What people talk about a lot, they've been thinking about it even more. Remember, Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. If Jesus is talking about this a lot, that means he's been meditating and chewing and thinking on this a whole lot more. And notice, this continues to repeat. It's a pattern here. He keeps talking about it. You would think that Jesus would have come up with another message, but he's stuck on this. And then verse 22, he says, and the glory that you gave me, I have given it unto them, that they would be one just as we are one. Friend, you cannot be united with God without having the same stuff.
Amen.
Notice he said, what you gave me, I gave it to them so we could be one. I gave it to them so we could be one. I gave it to them so we could be one. And then in verse 23, he says, I in them and you in me, that they would be made what? Notice this word. What is it? That they would be made perfect. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Absolutely complete. Because of this wonderful divine union with Christ and with the Father, that you wouldn't be missing out on anything. He said that they would be made perfect in one, and here it is again, that the world would know that you sent me. Friends, I'm telling you right now, this is what this last great move of God's going to be all about. This last great awakening. It's not going to be about this person here. It's going to be about all these Christians all out there that look like Jesus, smell like Jesus, walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, getting results like Jesus. That they would be one, just as I am one. And I'm giving them what you gave me. So the world would know that you sent me. For far too long, we have looked too far below down on ourselves. We look down on ourselves. Why? Because we've been looking at this right here to define who we are. We've been looking in that mirror made of glass to tell us who we are. What you need to start doing is looking at Jesus. Jesus tells you who you are. And people say, oh, that's arrogant. That's probably, no, it's humility. To look at Jesus and say, that's me. Jesus was the prototype. Everything God wanted in you, he put into Christ. Why? Because when you got into Christ and Christ got into you, everything that was flowing through the vine would now begin to flow through the branch.
Amen.
It would begin to flow through the branch. It began to flow through the branch. And then let me give you two more scriptures here. Colossians chapter 2. So this is Jesus praying here. And you know, Jesus gets his prayers answered. And I want you to see here in Colossians, some things Paul's talking about here. Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll look at the one in chapter 2. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Paul said this, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope and the expectation of the glory of God. Why could I expect the glory of God? Because the glory Jesus had, he put on the inside of me. What's the gospel message? And it's very basic, simple. What is it? Christ in you. This almost too good to be true news, that Christ, the one that we saw do all the miracles and do all the signs and wonders, come to live on the inside of you. He said, this is the mystery of the gospel. It's Christ in you. This is what it's all about. And we've gotten so far away from that Because we become so focused on me and my works and my confession and my this and my that and trying to turn the right knob and push the right button and pull the right lever. And in reality, it's not about me. It's about who's on the inside of me. Jesus said in John 15, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, that's where fruit gets produced. The fruit is not going to be produced when you're over here on your own and you're trying to work the system. You can call it faith. You can clothe it in faith. You can call it whatever you want. But if you're working, it ain't going to work. A lot of people are working for Faith Incorporated, not getting a paycheck. I've been working and working and working and I ain't getting nothing. But that's where there's a lot of frustration with a lot of people. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. You know, I serve, I give, I tithe, I got my 10 sheets of confessions and I read my chapters, I do all these things and I can't get it to work. Yeah, that's your answer. That's your answer. It's not about you. Yes, there's things, these are wonderful faith principles and spiritual principles we should be doing. We should be going to church. We should be serving. We should be giving. We should be doing all these things. But we're not doing those things to try to get what Jesus already got me. Amen. And this is what it just boils down. Christ in you. And then notice what Paul says, just one chapter over, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. He notices, he says, as you have received Christ, as you have received him, now what? Walk in him. Walk in him. As you have received him, now walk in him. Walk in him. No, Paul said this over in Acts. He said, it's in him that we do what? We live and we move and we have our being. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, we are one spirit with the Lord. Paul said, as you've received Christ, now walk in him. And then in verse 9 and 10, I mean, it's so powerful. Verse 9, he says that Christ, he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Right. If he stopped right there, period, that's it. We would say, oh, praise Jesus. Magnify his name. Look how great and awesome that he is. The fullness, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and one body. He said the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But then Paul went on and he included you and I in verse 10. And he said, and you. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead body. And you are complete in him. That means the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and you wrapped up into one body. Come on now. That means everywhere that I go, me and the Trinity, we're going together. Me and the Trinity, we're going together. And everything that's flowing in him, it's flowing on the inside of me right now too. And this is where we've gotten off because we think we got to get to this man. We got to get to this woman. Let me clue you in. How many of you ever heard about the story of the woman who had the issue of blood? Okay, great faith principles in that story. Wonderful faith principles in that. But let me clue you in on something, okay? Think about this woman. It says that she was confessing and declaring, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. And she goes and she presses through the crowd. She's sweating and she's doing all these things. She could have been killed for what she was doing, stoned, because she was unclean. And she presses through the crowd and she goes up and she grabs a hold of Jesus' garment. And that power flows out of him and flows into her. And immediately she knew she was healed. And Jesus felt it go out of him. Right? We know that story. But let me tell you something. That is a wonderful story of how the sinner gets healed. Got to get to Jesus, because he's the source, he's the supply. I got to get to him. But friend, let me tell you something. When you got saved, you're no longer the woman with the issue of blood. I'm not trying to get to Jesus, to get the power to flow out of him and flow into me. When I got saved, the healer came to live on the inside of me. He came to live on the inside of me. The anointed one, and that anointing is on the inside of me. I'm not trying to get to Jesus. That way I don't have to worry about Jesus passing me by. All right. No, he got on the inside of me. The Christ got on the inside of me. His healing power got on the inside of me. That means everywhere that I go, I am a walking miracle waiting to happen. That means I've got on the inside of me the contents already, the medicine of heaven, so I can experience divine health and divine life everywhere that I go and all that I do, every single day of my life. I'm not trying to get to a certain man or a certain woman. Now look, thank God because of his mercy, there's many ways to receive healing. And one of those ways is to get to somebody that knows what they have and knows who they are, and they can release it into your body. We can do it through prayer cloths, you know, putting the anointing in that cloth. It can be done by speaking the word. All these wonderful ways. But friends, what are you going to do if you're over in Africa and you're preaching for Jesus and you can't find anybody that knows anything about anything and you need a miracle in your body? It's just you, the lions, and God. You got to know you got somebody and something already on the inside of you. I'm not trying to touch him. He got on the inside of me. His life's flowing through my veins, flowing through every tissue, flowing through every ligament and bone and organ in my body right now. And if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that very same life and anointing is on the inside of your spirit right now, and it's ready to break loose into your body. It's ready to break loose in your body right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope and expectation of the glory of God on the inside of you right now. Come on, read it. Not just mending organs, replacing organs. Ears that weren't hearing, causing those ears to hear right now. And you don't even have to come up with the right confession to make it happen. You just know he's on the inside of you. And he's wanting just to explode into your body. Explode into your body. Come on, let me break it down for you. You don't even need Bible for this. This is just common sense. None of us have a real issue with going and laying hands on somebody else and expecting the power, the anointing, to go into them out of us. Now, hey, knuckle nut, if it's there for you to give to somebody else, why is it not there for you? Yeah. Duh, like, come on, we're okay with that. Oh, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Let me lay hands on you. Why? Because something's going to come out of me into you. But all of a sudden, when it comes to me, now I got to get to somebody else. Because what was on the inside of me, it won't work for me. It'll work for somebody else. Come on now. Come on. If God moved on the inside of you, and this is where common sense just it got me in trouble. If God moved on the inside of me, are you kidding me? He left his healing power in heaven? How can... Because we all know, it doesn't matter what denomination you are, what religious circle you are, we pretty much all believe as a Christian that I am the temple of God, amen, that the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of me. All right, if God by the Holy Ghost is living on the inside of me and the Holy Spirit is the giver of the gifts, I mean, I'm not chasing after one apple, I got the whole tree. If he's the giver of the gifts, and it's the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, so we know the power is there with him. Are you telling me that he left his power there and moved on the inside of me? You cannot separate God and his power. You can't separate God and his power. So even if you don't believe all this other stuff, but you believe that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you, if he's there, the power's got to be there too. Come on, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places where? In Christ. When God moved on the inside of you, I mean, he brought the whole you all. It was beep, 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 back it up, baby. Dump it in them, unload them. Come on, when Jesus saved you, he didn't save you just a little bit. He didn't do any things. God is a lavish, excessive giver. He's a boat sinking, 12 basket left over, giving God. Jesus didn't come just to help you a little bit. God didn't come and move on the inside of you a little bit. You are wall to wall, top to bottom, all the way around. Divine God. We'll spend some time on this tonight, but I want to tell you this. This just came up. This just blessed my socks off a while back when I saw this. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, very first thing that happens, God said, let life be. Light be. Light was. Release light. But that wasn't when the sun was created. Right? That didn't happen until later on. God released himself into the universe. Now think about this. Think about this. We know this, that the universe is continually expanding. And it's expanding at the speed of light. The universe in its magnificence, in its expansiveness, it cannot contain the light and life of God. It cannot contain the substance of God. I mean, the universe, as big as it is, it's trying, but it can't stop it. Why? John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And you see it over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What we begin to find out is that the universe, in its greatness, in its expansiveness, it cannot contain God. Cannot contain God. But God designed you so perfectly and so completely to be like him that you could contain him to his fullness. The universe and the heavens cannot contain God, but you as a spirit being can. Woo! Everything that created the planets and the stars, the galaxies, that life that flowed into the universe, it's on the inside of you right now. If it could create all those things, why couldn't it knock out a tumor, create a new eye, create a new ear, create a new lung? Why could it not? It's on the inside of you right now. 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 Come on, what the doctors cannot help, the power of God on the inside of you can fix, it can replace, it can renew right now. Woo! On the inside of your spirit right now. That's why you got to understand, I'm a spirit being. I'm not this body. Some of you may wake up in the morning, go to the bathroom, look in that mirror and go, ooh, I'm sexy. That ain't you. That ain't you. If you want to understand who you are, you need to look at Jesus Christ. That's who you are. And everything that he has, you have. 1 John 4:17 says, as Jesus is, present tense. As he is, present tense, so are you and I in this world. In this world. Friend, the only thing different between you and Jesus right now, he has his heavenly body, you got your mortal body. That's it. That's it. You can look at this and say, well, I sure don't look like Jesus. No, this is not you. This is why people are frustrated and struggling, because we keep looking at this to tell me whether I'm healed or not, or whether I've got the power. And this is why we cry out for more of this and more of that, more of this and more of that. But the early church didn't do that. They actually believed that salvation and the baptism of the Holy Ghost was enough. And yet us faith-filled people, we're praying for God to give us more power, more of this, more of that. Make me clean. Do this. Do that. We don't even believe what we preach. But notice this, Paul. Notice Paul's prayer for the church. He said, I pray for you daily that God would open up your eyes, give you wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know. Notice he didn't pray that God would give you something. Paul's prayer was for revelation, that you would know what you have. And what was it he was praying that you would know that you have? That you would know the plan of God for your life. You know the inheritance God has in the saints. And you would know the exceeding greatness of his power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. That it's not only for you, but that it's in you. That was Paul's prayer. He didn't pray God give him that power. He said, Father, help them to understand that that power's on the inside of them right now. That's on the inside of you right now. Some of you might need to move. You might want to check some things right now. Some of you that had some ankle and knee issues, you might want to start bending and shaking and running and do those things you couldn't do, because I'm telling you, you can do them right now. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. The presence of God, not just in the building, the presence of God on the inside of you.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.